Hold up. What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here. And it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
A lot can happen in the next 3 years. Like a chatbot may be your new best friend. But what won't change? Needing health insurance. UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans are available for these changing times. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer budget-friendly, flexible coverage for people who are in between jobs or missed open enrollment. The plans last nearly 3 years in some states, with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. So for whatever tomorrow brings, UnitedHealthcare Tri-Term Medical Plans may be for you. Learn more at uh1.com.
You are here because you have clicked on part two of the Travis Alabanza extravaganza. Here comes the second half of it. If you haven't heard part one yet, go back to your feed, click on part one, listen there. If not, take it away. I'll get out of the way. I'll shut up, shall I? Well, I'm not going to shut up because I'm going to talk again now. Listen, see?
The age when I said I was trans was different to when I think, looking back, I like knew I was not. Like, maybe as simple as what I thought my gender was, but like, because obviously I didn't come out, like, I didn't try and address the first time and then regurgitate a Judith Butler essay. Like, it took some time. Yeah, like, I was 19 when I started, like, being like, okay. I mean, I thought I was a trans woman at first. I thought I was, like, ready to, like, look a certain way and do that. And then I met this person in California, actually. Which is so cliche. God, I sound like a cliche, don't I? But I met this met this person in California, and I remember we were doing, like, it was the first time I'd been told about pronouns. And I was like, they were like, before we hang out and do this event, we all go around and say our pronouns. I was like, what the fuck's a pronoun? And then this person said, oh, by the way, just to let you know, I use them, they as a pronoun. And I was like, what? What do you mean? What do you actually mean? Like, that doesn't make sense. And the person was like, well, it does. I like, don't really like have gender on me, like it's just not a big deal for me. And it really messed with my head. Like I was like, I was like, that doesn't make sense, that's not it, like you can't possibly, what? And I'd messed up a lot, and I was, and then I realized that this person who I'm always thankful for, they paused and they said why is it messing you up so much, like what's it tripping up? And then they asked back, they said, is it tripping up something in yourself? And I just burst into tears. I might have had a spliff, but I did just burst. I just burst into tears. I was in California. I did say, you know, so I was burst, you know, into tears. Yeah. And I realized that there was like this tension that I was holding because I was trying to decide what I was. And suddenly when I realized that I didn't need to, like, I was like, wait, it can just be nothing. I can just be me. I can just be Travis. Mm. I can void it. My whole body like dropped, you know.
Wow. So like a physical thing, physical feeling.
Absolutely. Like I felt a tension, you know, I still felt it then. And I was like, because I was just so fixated on like, am I this? Am I that? Do I need to look like this? I'm definitely not this. So I must be this. And I really just was jumping between the two every day. Like, okay, I'm definitely not a man, but like, that means I must be a woman. Definitely not. And I was trying to come up with all these words. And then I was like, wait, huh? Like,
don't need to, because we're so, I mean, our society just is so desperate for us to claim us in every way, you know. We were just talking the other day about clothes and about why is it that, you know, Chris and I both buy sometimes girls' clothes, and you know, and because we like girls' pants or whatever, not panties, trousers, you know, and things, because we both love a leisure wear item. And like that thing of like when you go up to the, or like when you're on a rack and your son says, oh, that's the ladies. And you can go, oh, why? Do you know what I mean? Why? Yeah. Even if, and also maybe you were buying it for a girlfriend, but there's still this weird sort of kind
shame.
Of barrier. A barrier of
people
shame.
People attach shame to it.
Many barriers and to many things.
And and it's funny because it, like, when you're talking about the burger thing and how you just carried on because no one else reacted, which is sometimes your signal to help you go, oh, okay, I should be reacting because other people, and no one was sticking up for you, which is shit. Like, it's really interesting because I, it's not the same experience at all, and it's not as harrowing at all, but it, I think it's rooted in shame as well. Like, where I remember being, when you were telling that story about the burger, I remember when I was a kid and I was about 12 and this guy I went to school with came up to me and he said, "Why can't you just walk like this?" and started walking for me, like saying, like, because you don't walk like a man, basically, like you walk. I rather like my walk. Actually, I didn't, but now I do. And I didn't say anything. And I was like, I was just like, oh, yeah, yeah, you know. And then I wrote it in a script. And so many people have said, oh, that's the bit I love. And I was like, oh, I hadn't even really thought about that. But I think these tiny moments are to do with shame and the signals that you take in from the world that you just don't even notice them. And I think it's the same with clothes as well. Yes. Like, why are you feeling shame in the women's section? Mm-hmm. It's literally like the whole thing is a construct.
Yeah.
It makes no sense.
Mm. My dad literally said to me, why can't you be the same as everyone else? and I remember thinking, oh God. And then it's been incredibly liberating thing to think, well, the thing that makes me interesting is that I'm not the same as everyone else, you know? And that's something I did kind of realize early on, but what also made me realize, I couldn't be the version of me that is that around him. You know, he wanted me to be the same. He wanted me to think that I was just like the same as he wanted me to disappear, really. But the idea that that what I always say this to young actors, actually, as well, when I'm endlessly asking, you know, what's your advice for a young actor? Be yourself. People will try and box you in and try and make you a type. And the thing is, the most interesting thing about yourself is you and your experience. So try and hang on to that and try and be the authentic you. It's very difficult, and especially when you're young and especially when you're starting out in the showbiz, because they want you to be like a something type or the blah, you know. But actually try and remember that. And you can see it. You can just see it when you just look through pictures of people and artists and things like that. You see the ones that are like, oh, I see, they're that kind of, they've gone down that route. And here's someone who's like, what's their thing? They look interesting.
I always giggle at like that with schools, because I always feel like it's the kids who were treated as the weirdos at schools are always the one who the school then asked to come back and give a speech, because they were the interesting ones.
Those, Travis.
No, I've said no.
Really?
No, I'm not ready. I think that
really go on.
I think that there's too much. One, I'm still really fucking young.
Old are you?
I'm 25.
Oh, for fuck's sake.
Yeah. So wow. Like, I'm like, if you're asking me back now, like, wait on, I'm not done yet. Like, come on, hopefully. Like, but you know, in my head, I'm not where I want. Like, I've got so many things I'm on my list of like where I want to be, but also, because I'm only 25, I still really remember school. And I'm like, I only started therapy 2 years ago. We're going to need about 4 more years on that one before we can go back. But like,
too soon.
Yeah, it's too soon. And I think that sometimes, you know, I need to get to a point where I'm not bitter about some of the schooling experience so that I can come back and be giving and generous to young people that have no idea what you went through whenever. But I think for me, you know, I first learned about how much the world will want you to edit yourself at school, you know? And I need to like shed that out before I come back and go, and I was at this school and now you can buy my book where I slag off this school.
Yeah.
How do you feel about the whole, intellectual violence, I suppose you'd call it, of this whole TERF thing that's going on right now?
That's a good question, because I actually am not asked it as much as I think, because I don't go to those debates anymore. You know, I don't go to them. I don't buy into it, because I saw that there was no air left in any of the room. I saw that like we weren't getting anywhere. I think how I feel about it is that I think so often we focus on these like roundabouts of words and definitions and places, and we forget that behind all these intellectual conversations there are trans young people that are needing to access resources to feel safe and heard, and that's all I care about. And you know, I've had TERFs, they all protested burgers. They all showed up at Edinburgh Fringe and protested my show. They all stood outside.
They did?
Yeah,
Bristol. They actually go out and protest.
Yes, they were all, we had hecklers, we had everything. And, you know, that didn't...
They're saying I'm a radical feminist and I'm protesting your show.
They just don't really like me. So, you know, you'll probably get it with this as well. Like, they're probably, hello, hi, if you're here. You know, it's like standard, you know.
Thanks for listening. Please rate and subscribe.
Yeah.
I didn't realise it was that... active. I just thought it was a bunch of kind of, you know.
Well, this is the issue. And I think this is what's hard is like, I don't even use the word TERF anymore, right? Is that because I don't even want to give it this feminist label. I think it's like a really well-organized hate group. But because we've created this kind of way of calling it this like version of feminism, we've almost softened what's actually happening. And I think, you know, it's interesting because we're talking in different locations, but most of these groups, the anti-trans groups, are funded by the same white nationalist groups that fund things in the deep south in the US. And I just think that it's gotten to a point now where it's actually dangerous, it's boring, and it doesn't, there's no, I would engage if I saw that there was a desire to meet somewhere together.
Yeah.
But actually, I don't see any of that desire. So what I say is that none of this, trans people have always been here. We've always existed. We're not going anywhere. So we have to find a way that your existence doesn't want to stamp out ours.
Yes.
But also, the main thing I think about is fear. I think that so often when we're afraid of things, right, that instead of going to the core of what we're afraid of, it's easier to create something that we can grab at. You know, like horror movies, right? They never make... The show is always an allegory, right? It's always a thing to describe the actual thing that the filmmaker's afraid of. And so for me, I think trans people have became that thing. Instead of saying, I'm afraid of male violence, I'm afraid of actual danger in public space, I'm afraid of the lack of resources that are going to women's health shelters, I'm afraid of what's happening to public resources to like women's aid. Instead, we're going to go, let's blame it all on this group of already marginalized people and just make them the thing, you know?
The feminist part, to me, what I just can't understand is, so feminism is about equality, right? It's about wanting to be women to be treated equally with men. So at its very core, the whole notion of feminism is about just equality.
Yes.
Mm. And so to not be able to, the mindset that cannot... isn't amazed like I am by the fact that you're not, those people are not saying that trans people are equal as well. Yes. It blows my mind. Why can't they see that?
And even more than that, I feel like not only does feminism feel like, you know, I was raised by just my mother and I was raised in a house where my mum is a proud and bold feminist. And the thing I learned really clearly from a young age was not only it's about equality, I felt like from an early age, it was my mum teaching me that it was also about her bodily autonomy. It was about her saying like, this is my body and I can do what I want with it. And that I remember when my mum like had armpit hair, you know, and that was like a thing, you know, and like, and that was a huge thing of feminists saying, I can grow this hair and I'm still just a woman. And for me, that's where the logic doesn't work out, because transness at its center is people saying, I deserve to be able to do what I want with my body and say, this is who I am. And to me, that feels the most feminist thing, that I should be able to have these not be reduced to my parts, basically. Mm. Doesn't that feel like what we all want, like to be more than our body parts? Like,
I wanted to ask if you, so you're talking about, you know, people picketing outside your shows and stuff, but do you feel that the media sometimes make out like more people have a problem with it than actually do as well? Because like, you know, I feel like sometimes people ramp up the numbers, but am I wrong?
I feel like, I don't know anymore, because I feel like I'm, in order to stay happy and caring about the obsession they had with us made me then in turn obsessed with myself again, like in my transness. Whereas I felt like I was at a place where it was just another part of who I was. Like in my day-to-day life, it wasn't this everyday thing that was being brought up. So in order to kind of keep that vibe, I really had to stop keeping tabs. But I do think that what I will say that is quite sad, I guess, is that I used to think that. I used to think that it was a small amount of people. And then I remember a member of my like family who had, you know, I've been wearing dresses for 10 years. I've been doing this for a while, you know? No one was really up in my face when I was doing it. And I've been using the word trans for like 7 years now, 6 years now. No conversation. My family, luckily, are so chill. And I remember just last year, a family member, not a close one, but still one, who had never mentioned it before, suddenly was like worried about toilets and suddenly was worried about me in toilets and suddenly was wondering where I was going to pee. And I was like, oh, wait, you've not had an issue. And then when I asked, I was like, what's coming up for you? Like, where's this coming from? Like, I've been peeing for a while now too. So like, I've been using the toilets for a while. What's coming up? And it was just headline after headline, but as their own opinion. And that's when I started to be like, okay, I need to dip because this isn't the vibe I need. And, you know, then
but
you
that's
start
when
walking.
Those things, Matt, that's when those things start to, you know, permeate those stupid messages. And if you say, you know, that's what's like the right wing in both, well, both, you know, those two big things, Trump and Brexit are two huge examples of how you mistruths or just lies repeated often and often and often enough become
the very
DNA of a nation's belief. And that's shocking.
And if it was true that we were everywhere, you would see us in Parliament. There's no trans person in Parliament. The Guardian has not had a trans columnist write for them in over 14 months. When I was at the South Bank Centre, the South Bank proudly was saying, even though it's not something to be proud of, I don't think, that I was the first XYZ in this space. And every single second that trans people are doing things, there are all these big claims. Even though I know it's all cycles, in the 80s, the 70s, we know there were so many trans people that were using different words there. But if trans people were really in everyone's spaces, it would be reflected in our economic position. But it's just not, like, you know, it's just not what's going on, you know?
Ways to go.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
I'm changing the subject now.
Thank you.
Do you have a partner, Travis?
No, I've been going on these dates with these indie boys, haven't I?
How's that been going?
Do you know what?
Well, the one in the farm wasn't a success.
The farm one, if you're listening to this, I hope he doesn't listen to this. But if he's listening to this, it was me, not you. But they're going all right. You know, I'm like newly on the dating scene again. For a while, I like etched it out, and I'm trying to go again. And it's like it's nerve wracking, isn't it? I don't know. Are you both wedded up?
We're both
wedded up.
Yeah.
But, you know, I we all spent many years getting into many scrapes, and it doesn't get any easier, does it?
No, I feel like it's like I'm not nervous on stage. I'm not nervous here. I'm not nervous on these things. Going before a date. I get so nervous.
It's so scary, that's why.
What is it? Can you try and...
I'm like quite confident about like a lot of things about myself, God. But I'm not confident about romance or my appearance or those kind of things. And so when I'm going on a date, I like my inner voice goes like... and I'm trying to do this new thing where I don't get drunk on a date, you know? Like I'm trying to do this thing where like, okay, like we'll only get drunk on a second date. Like... Mm-hmm. You know, if we can make it first sober, then we can have the reward of getting bladdered. But sometimes I'll be like, oh, that first date wasn't great, but I bet they're fun bladdered. So then I'll go on the second date.
Funny. But, you know, like it's a shame to hear you say that because you are like, one, you're gorgeous. Two, you're the most fun person who anyone in the world would be lucky to have a date with you. And I think,
but all your past rejections come up in it. You know, like I was in a relationship for quite a while Well, it felt like a while. It was like a while in my 20s. You know, in your 20s, I think you should be like moving quick, you know? And I was not moving quick in one. And I think that all it takes is one to like stick you in the bit of the mud and you're like, shit. But no, but I like the thing I like about dating in Bristol rather than London is London, you know, you're a small fish in a very big Tinder pool. Here, if someone's like kind of thing is like this, they're not going to find one quite quick, like round on the, you know, in the Bristol farms. So I've really just found that my niche at the moment is definitely indie boys that like might have had one hit in like Southwest musical culture 6 years ago. That's like that's who I found, and I'm latching on and I'm staying on tight.
You're getting and going to old record shops and buying hits from 6 years ago.
You're scanning the covers. You'll do.
Exactly.
I love it. I just love this indie boys. I hope they listen to this. It'll be like a line.
They probably will. Yeah. You know, like, I don't really talk to them about work. I try and not like do work things with them. This isn't work, though. This is just a chat. So maybe it'll meet the boundary. But I bet if I told them, they're probably already listened to this podcast, don't they? Really, let's be fair.
What is it about them that is your catnip? Why is it indie boys from bad?
I just want to make it clear that it is not my type until literally the last 2 months. I think it's this like coming back Bristol. I've only dated like none of my previous partners were like these like rocker kind of indie boys. And then coming back to Bristol, I think, do you know what it was? When I grew up in Bristol, all of my friends were like a bit like that. And, you know, they were all straight and I was like trying to figure out my queerness. So I had to like, da, da, da. And I think there's something in coming back and being like, well, now look, I'm like being able to like be with these boys too. And like, da, 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 da. I don't know. Yes.
What were the boys that you dated like before? What was your type before?
It's all quite different. But like, you know, my last relationship was another queen. Like, I'm very queen for queen. I'm like, you know, I'm very like, my past two relationships were other like gender non-conforming people like me, whatever words you want to use for it. And that was really important for me. Like, I felt like, you know, I've dated all kinds. Like, I dated like a...
Not fussy.
Do you know what it is? I don't really care as long as they can make me laugh. And as long as they've like got a good spirit and they're like spontaneous. Do you know what I mean? For me, it's about can you just do that? And like, I think, you know, I went through the phase of dating like the undercover boys that don't want to like be seen with you and they're still trying to figure it out. You know, I did all of that. And then I went the other way and dated like, you know, the super like, we're out there, we're going together, like queen for queen vibe. And now it's just like, will you take me to Rough Trade music store? And give me my
records.
Yeah, give me my music education.
Because you said a really pertinent thing that I remember you saying that you may not remember saying, but you said about dating and like people you're dating experiencing harassment as a byproduct of being with you, and you having to feel responsible for that. And I selfishly and stupidly never considered that, you know. That you feel responsible.
Yeah, that was a big issue, like, on my last kind of person I was dating for a bit, is that, like, you know, we were having all this fun inside. We were going to these dinners and dates, and he was like, wow, this is easy. Like, I don't know why I was so worried about, like, being with someone that, like, you know, not, I feel like that was what's going on in his head, projection. And, you know, all this fun, and then we went out, and it actually happened recently, we went out, well, like, recent pre-lockdown, so, like, February, I guess. We went out for walking from our dinner. And, you know, I could tell it was the first time he had ever had people look at him like that, you know, and then someone kind of gave him like a bit of a kissing of the teeth and like a, you know, something under the breath, who knows what it was, something uninventive like faggot, which is such a bad one because I love being a fag. So I was like, come up with something better, babe. But, you know, and I realized that is that all right? He's like, I just never have had that. And I think it is that, you know, sometimes... You know, I think gender, I know we're talking about it a lot, but God, we're hearing it. But like, gender, I think, is about honesty. I think when people can see people being honest in their gender, it ruptures other people that have hidden so much about their gender. And so sometimes when someone's in relationship to you, they realize that that might also force them to be honest with themselves, with the surroundings, with the world. And I used to make that about me, but now I'm like, only if you're ready. Like, this is an honest space. So it's not about, you could internalize that and make that about you. But instead I'm like, no, that's boring. It's so boring to make it a thing that's wrong with you. Instead, yes. It's like, are you ready to be honest? And honesty brings danger sometimes, because our world is told not to be honest. And so you're either ready for that danger and the fun, you know, there's danger and fun and spontaneity and excitement, or you're not.
Yeah. Wow. That's great. Travis, that's really great. That's a really great spot to end our lovely chat. Yeah. I'll take that away with me and think on it hugely. But thank you so much. This has been lovely to talk to you.
This is
I can't wait to see your. I hope you bring burgers to New York after when everything is open again.
It's all in the talks. I really hope that it will happen. Yeah.
That'd be lovely.
Oh, thank you so much. It's been such a pleasure.
Yeah. And have fun in Bristol with your boys. And
get God
keep
back.
Us posted.
And the Bristol farm.
Listen, if there are any indie boys listening, it's hello at homosapienspodcast.com.
We'll have to do a special. It should be Travis at homosapienspodcast.com.
Yeah, and we'll do like, oh my God, we'll make it like a dating special. We'll record all the dates with all the and it's always, you have to go to the same farm. It's just the boy is different.
Ah, what a darling Travis is.
I know, aren't they amazing? Like, there is a serene higher being feeling about Travis of like,
yes,
you know, just...
That's a very good description.
I have thought about this. I am just this calm, peaceful beauty about them.
And again, I think there's an interesting thing about them that so many people we've spoken to recently have had these sort of epiphanies during COVID, the time away out of their normal lives, kind of stepping back from perhaps social media and all that, but definitely some sort of, looking inside and a kind of a real, an epiphany. And I think that's really exciting to be talking to people at this time.
Yeah. And I'm also feeling like that I hear more and more that the cities are not the best places for queer people. And actually people going back to their hometowns are having amazing experiences. And I wonder if that's because we used to have to go to cities to find the people who are more left field, because that's where they gathered. Yeah. But then social media happened and actually people know everything that the people in the cities know now.
Yeah, that people care less or less. I mean, I think if you've had trauma in a place and you leave it and you go to a city to find yourself and to find your tribe, then you must have a certain barrier in terms of how you think about that place you've left. But going back to it, I guess that's what's been happening. Actually, these people we've been talking to, they've gone back to these places where there was trauma in their past, and they're kind of healing, kind of because they're seeing things have changed there.
Alan, you've been a delight. Travis has been a delight.
And you've been a total cream pie.
Oh,
oh gosh, that means a dirty thing in porn, doesn't it? Sorry, I didn't mean that.
It's not the first time I've been called that, Alan.
Oh my God, sorry, Chris. If everybody listening would like to respond to anything that Travis has said or anything Chris and I have said, or just like to send us some information about yourself, just thoughts, you know, vibes, you can contact us at hello@homosapienspodcast.com.
Correct. Or you can get in touch with us on Instagram at Homo Sapiens. Follow us for all our japes and fun. And then you can also write to us on Facebook, and you can also review us on Apple Podcasts, and then you might win a t-shirt.
Yes, you go to the Apple Podcasts thing, you can win a t-shirt because we review the reviews and we give a t-shirt to the one that is not necessarily the most favourable to us, because we are very equanimous.
Yes.
But we give the t-shirt to the one we feel deserves to be smothered with love. All right, everybody. See you next week. Take care. Brush your hair.
Bye.
Planning for your next trip?
Elevate your travel style with Quince.
Quince has all the jet-setting essentials you'll want for your next getaway, like European linen, premium luggage options, buttery soft Italian leather bags, and so much more. And it's all priced at 50 to 80% less than similar brands. Plus, Quince only works with factories that use safe and ethical manufacturing practices. Pack your bags with high-quality essentials you'll be wearing for vacations to come with Quince. Go to quince.com/pack for free shipping and 365-day returns.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Powered by Spirit Studios.